The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you for another edition of the show. We always are excited to join you each week here on the Tony Curry Radio System and go over all the things that are on our mind, and especially highlight those things that we feel like it's important for you to need to know. It's Halloween week, of course. We touched on that a little bit last week. The theme of the show are things that I'm truly scared of. It wasn't ghosts and goblins. It was people trying to run our lives and intrude on our individual liberties. But this week, I saw a commercial, and I really couldn't believe it. This is off the topic, but I just thought it'd be fun to mention that I'm sure everybody's aware that Halloween 68 or whatever it is out, and it unbelievably matches Jamie Lee Curtis, who is, I guess, still trying to fight off Michael Myers after all these years. I'm trying to picture, the final scene in the last confrontation or whatever. I mean, how's this going to go down? Is he going to be wearing like a tacky button-up short sleeves, polka dot shirt with some striped Bermuda shorts and black socks and sandals while she assails him in her support hose or, ancient robe? Are they going to, throw Metamucil at each other, or they can't bite each other because their teeth won't survive that confrontation? Are they going to just beat each other senseless with their walkers? I mean, the drama is just killing me here. It's hard to believe that another edition of Halloween is out and that confrontation continues. I probably haven't seen any of the movies since the first couple of editions, and she did everything to him basically to rid her and the world of the evil Michael Myers, and he just keeps coming back for more. So what a franchise. This has been going on for like 40 years, and I'm not rooting for, well, his demise. I don't think anybody would be sad about, but enough of that. But I wanted to relate that I saw the advertisement and could not believe another confrontation is on the offing this Halloween season. Something happened last Friday night in Jacksonville, Florida. It was a concert for the country star Luke Bryan. And I'm not really into country music, never have been. Being on Tony Curry Radio, my roots are pretty solidly in classic rock. That's what I grew up with and listened to. And, I love Motown and folk music and a lot of singer-songwriter stuff. I'm a lyrics guy. And so there are some country artists that I appreciate what they do. But I'm pointing this out because I'm not a Luke Bryan fan. I can't name one song that he's famous for. I'm sure there's a whole catalog of them. But Luke Bryan was doing a concert in Jacksonville on Friday night, and he introduced and brought on stage briefly the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. And that touched off a tremendous wave of just attacking vile posts, calling for his cancellation, and how could he do this? This polarizing figure, how could he bring Ron DeSantis on stage? I mean, what a horrible transgression! But again, like so many things, it's completely out of context, because if you watch the entire tape of that event, Luke Bryan prefaces it by saying, "We're here to have a lot of fun tonight and hopefully raise a lot of money for all of the people suffering so mightily from the hurricane that decimated Florida. So I'm going to bring up the governor of Florida now, Ron DeSantis, who, of course, is the chief executive officer of the state and is the guy who is driving the fundraising and relief efforts for Florida. Totally appropriate. If you look at it in context, he wasn't making a political statement on behalf of Ron DeSantis. He was bringing up the governor of a state that has been just blown away, literally, by this horrible once in a 25-year storm that they just endured several weeks ago. So I bring this up because one of the things, the main thing I want to talk about today is what's happening with Twitter. And of course, Twitter had become the absolute bureau for all of this kind of vitriol whenever something happens that kind of lights that fuse. If you went to Twitter on Saturday morning after this appearance on stage by DeSantis with Luke Bryan, I mean, you saw some of the most vile, disgusting posts, you know, again, calling for Luke Bryan to be, you know, banned and don't, you know, nobody needs to ever buy another record or listen to anything he ever does again because of this horrible blight on his record now, acknowledging the evil governor of Florida, who in popularity polls in that state is in the 60 percentile range. And I don't think anybody can say when this hurricane had hit that the state of Florida was tremendously organized, and Ron DeSantis did a phenomenal job of staying on top of everything and being prepared for everything. But you can't give credit in a crisis for that if somebody doesn't have popular views, or I should say views that are consistent with your own. You know, he's the enemy no matter what he does. But Twitter is the main source and has become that, the go-to place to really bash anybody that does not have a leftist ideology. And it is such a runaway, one-sided, completely inappropriate forum that is not intended by law or creation to have been that way. It has been hijacked and has become the absolute source of just the most vicious attacks you can possibly imagine. Well, the question is now, though, all that's going to change, and the man behind that change is one Elon Musk, who took control this week, acquired Twitter with a $44 billion, that's with a B, $44 billion purchase of that social media platform. And Elon Musk walked into the office the day the deal closed on Wednesday afternoon, and he was carrying a sink, literally a sink, a disconnected sink, and it would look like it was even kind of heavy. He was had it both arms, and he came through the doors and was lugging this thing through the world headquarters of Twitter. And there was a post that came out at the same time, a tweet, I should say. Let me get my terminology right. A tweet that showed Elon Musk coming in, carrying the sink, and his comment, his tweet was, Elon Musk arrives at Twitter world headquarters. Let that sink in. I thought that was amazingly clever, and because of all of the, these last 6 or 7 months, as Musk has tried to get control of this platform, the hatred directed at him, the absolute freaking out of people on the left and the Twitter nation, the Twitter employees, and they have tens of thousands of them, and we'll talk about that in a minute. When Elon Musk was going to take control and publicly stated that the whole reason, the whole driving force, he feels like it's like a civic obligation to do this because he is so and he's been a regular Twitter contributor for a long time as a tweeter. But he was just so outraged at the business practices, and that's a loose term. It's not really business to completely shut down any ideology that doesn't match with the radical agenda that this the operators of this particular enterprise had. And he was so appalled by the tactics they were using, things like blocking and shadow banning, terms that have become really regular, algorithms, which we'll talk about. But in the case of something like this Luke Bryan thing, the immediate outpouring is very suspect. And what's going to be fascinating by Elon Musk taking control of this, let's call it what it is. It's not just a platform. It's a media outlet. And by him taking control of this, and his stated goal is, I want this to be the town square. I want this to be the public forum. I want this to be the free-flowing exchange of ideas. And that is not what Twitter has been for a long, long time. If anyone has a counter opinion, chances are you're not going to see that on Twitter. You're only going to see the immediate negative reaction to whatever they want you to be exposed to. Google, another giant in this particular area, is the same way. There have been several congressional investigations about their tactics in completely repressing and blocking any counter ideas or facts, which is the most amazing thing. Irrefutable facts are not allowed to be displayed, or are, you know, you can post them, but they're not going to really see the light of day. I have personal experience in this area. At one time, I had climbed through persistence and a determination to have Twitter as a foundation for a lot of my promotion of things that I believe in and my ideas, and promote programs that I'm involved in. I had gotten up to 2,885 followers, basically within about a year of starting on Twitter. And, you know, it was a slow build, but it was steady and progressive. And it felt like, I was on the right track. One morning I got up and noticed that I was down in one night, overnight, I was down to 2,200 and some odd. So they had taken 600 of my followers away overnight, with no explanation, with no, there was no reason given. The excuse when others complained about these things is, well, they had done a lot of investigation and a lot of these weren't even real people. But what it really was, though, once I was identified and labeled as someone who was not in the pew of worship for what they believed in, they started to de-emphasize me. And I'm just a minor fish in this sea. I can't imagine, people of great significance. And what they've had to deal with in terms of trying to get their thoughts and present facts and counterarguments to the things that we have been barraged with this corrupt system in the last few years. And again, this is not, I'm not a flaming right winger crying about not being heard. I see myself as a pragmatic individual who has my own ideas. I'm told what to think, but it doesn't influence me. I make my own decisions. I look at every issue individually, just like I look at every individual, in their own mode, and try and make determinations of what I believe and what I think. And I base all of that on two things: facts. Facts are the most important thing that you can assemble in terms of trying to understand any issue or any situation. And common sense. Sit down and think. Do not listen to what other people tell you is popular. Do not listen to what other people think that you should be thinking. Do not be intimidated by, you know, being threatened with ridicule because you take a stand on what you believe. These are just basic, you know, tenets that you every person should employ. So you've got all this hysteria in the ranks of Twitter that Elon Musk is coming in. Now let's talk about who Elon Musk is. Is Elon Musk some right-wing wacko who, you know, is accused of different transgressions, racism and misogyny and xenophobia and all of the things that automatically anybody who opposes the ideology of the left is tagged with? Absolutely not. This is not a guy who has been political whatsoever in his career. All he's been really good at is coming up with innovative ideas and making an unbelievable amount of money. He is considered right now worldwide the richest man in the world. And he didn't start with big means. Elon Musk, right now estimated to be worth about $210 billion. Bought again Twitter, acquired the company for $44 billion, mostly by leveraging Tesla stock. And that's his biggest cash cow. That's what's made him so much of his fortune. Of course, like everybody that really gets to this level, and nobody's gotten to that level, but anybody who gets to the level of these kind of riches, always that you can go back and find a mega deal that really kind of lit the whole opportunity for them to continue to put money in. And that's the secret. These guys don't make a big score and sit on their money and say, okay, well, I've made it. I'm just going to go lay on the beach somewhere. I worked for a capitalist and an unbelievably successful businessman who started literally with nothing, Phil Ruffin, who now owns the Treasure Island Resort in Las Vegas, the Circus Hotel he bought. He had the property across from Atlantis in the Bahamas, owns hotels and property all over the country. But Phil is a guy that as soon as he made a dime, he put 9 cents right back into something else the next day. That's exactly what it takes, and that's what Elon Musk did. He made a huge score in 2002. When a company that he was majority stockholder of, PayPal, sold to eBay, and he raked in I think 20 something billion dollars in that deal, and was off and running. So, the point is that Elon Musk had started SpaceX, of course, a rocket company. Satellites launching in, you know, the first commercial venture into space. He also, Tesla, his biggest company, what does it focus on? It focuses on electric vehicles. So I don't think you can label this guy some, you know, right-wing zealot when his focus is on those kind of vehicles that the left will tell you that is absolutely essential for our actual survival. This is an existential crisis, this burning of fossil fuels and carbon emissions. Well, this guy should be the poster boy for actually delivering that system that they are so adamant about having. Here's the other compelling evidence on Elon Musk. Elon Musk has a foundation that awards millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and the grants go to pretty much companies, startup companies, different ventures, different projects that are intent on developing technologies for the future, including, get ready for this, Elon Musk, the great enemy now of the left. A large majority of those grants go to companies that are developing clean energy systems, particularly solar energy is a major interest in Elon Musk. So, you know, again, this guy is right down the line of what the left claims to be in support of, because the climate change agenda is such a priority for them. It's the biggest crisis in the world. It has nothing on, you know, imperialistic and military threats from the Russians and the Chinese, or abject poverty around the world, or all of the other problems we're having in our country with the border and crime and all of these different things. His foundation is focused on delivering solutions for the future. And all that's out the window now, because he also doesn't march to the same drum that they insist that anybody must adhere to, or they will be canceled. And that drumbeat is the march to complying to everything that they want to do to attain power, control, and incomprehensible wealth. It's something we've talked about a lot here, and it is so glaringly apparent every time something like this occurs that is exactly what the deal is. It's not climate change. It's not development of clean energy systems. That's all just an excuse, and it's an excuse to frighten people and push people into their line of thinking, which gives them the opportunity to take control, increase government, put government in charge of everything, and control all business, all personal decisions. It's the same blueprint that's been used for centuries in all kinds of countries and places around the world, and it's never worked. It doesn't work. You cannot have an unlimited supply of other people's money to sustain that kind of ideology, and it's the same thing that makes it fail every single time. So here you got Elon Musk walking into Twitter, carrying his sink, a guy that is philosophically and ideologically in line with so much of what they espouse, but now he is the most dastardly enemy in the world. Imagine, he wants to allow Twitter to be a public square of free expression and thought. I mean, how outrageous. This guy has got to be stopped at all costs. Well, they didn't stop him. He took over. The first thing he did was go to the executive level and fire the top four Twitter executives, including the ones who made the decision to ban a former president of the United States because of his, quote, disinformation on Twitter. Also, the horrible, ridiculous thing that should outrage every American, the Hunter Biden laptop story, when Hunter Biden's laptop, which had been in possession of the FBI for months, was just being dry docked and kept out of the focus. When the New York Post got hold of, about a month before the presidential election in 2020, they got hold of the information that's on that laptop and started to publish it. There was this scramble right away of trying to suppress that information. And even the New York Post had been a Twitter supporter and a poster for many, many years. All of a sudden, the New York Post material was banned from Twitter. Now, ask yourself the question, why would that be? Their excuse was, well, it's clearly Russian disinformation. And we had 50 some odd intelligence officers and former and current draft a letter and say, this has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation, despite the fact that this information on that laptop and the fact that the laptop was genuine had already been verified. And people had actually come forward that were on there in terms of email correspondence and different messaging back and forth. They presented the information that they had received over the years from Hunter Biden on their computers, talking about the big guy getting his cut and talking about all the nefarious deals that James Biden, the president's brother, and his son Hunter were making all over the world. And there was even a reference in there about, you know, we have to take advantage of Joe's notoriety. And of course, Joe's cutting the deal all the way. It compromises everything in terms of decision making. I mean, what if, let's put it this way, Hunter Biden, it's not disputed now, traveled on Air Force Two with Joe Biden on a state visit to China and walked away from there with a $1.5 billion investment from the from a bank in China controlled by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. So the government basically invested in Hunter Biden's investment firm. There was kind of one problem there. Hunter Biden had no experience in investments. Hunter Biden, one of his partners in that venture, was the son of one of the most notorious gangsters in American modern century history, Whitey Bulger. This was a slush fund. It was not an investment. It was buying influence in the highest circles of the American government. And all this information was denied. The networks didn't report it. Facebook would not allow posts on that. And Twitter completely shut the New York Post down. That's the kind of tactics that they resort to. And, you know, for the, again, the little guys like me who were posting thoughts, I got immediate responses every time that I would post something. 6, 8, 10 in the first half an hour, people, you know, just completely disavowing anything I was saying. And it was obvious that I was in a category where if you used any sort certain words, bots were deployed, which are not real people. They were just these canned answers about, you know, why that what I was reporting on or what thousands of others were writing about was disinformation. And then it even got worse than that. They developed these sophisticated algorithms that interpreted material that you would send and basically not allow that to be seen, despite the fact that, you know, I still have about 1,600 followers. You know, I would put out something that I thought was really kind of a groundbreaking, and I would get, you know, maybe two acknowledgments out of that many people. They were not allowing that to be seen on their feeds, even to your own followers. So it's all of these things that Elon Musk has sworn that he feels like it was his obligation to come into this situation in a country that is all about free speech and free expression of ideas. And it is going to be fascinating when he gets back, when he gets in there and starts to unravel all this stuff. The kind of guy he is, he's gonna say exactly what's been going on there. And maybe it'll finally be a wake-up call for folks in our country that are oblivious to the fact that the media, the conventional media, and again, this isn't a conspiracy theory, the ties between major network executives and the tech community to Washington, D.C., and all the bureaucrats that really behind the scenes run everything, and even political appointees, the incestuous nature of that relationship is undeniable. So a lot happening right now. Elon Musk is going to really step in and provide a real glimpse into exactly what has been happening in terms of controlling information in this country. And folks are finally awake to it, because when in this situation of being in power, all the denial in the world doesn't change what people actually see and hear and experience. They bit off a little bit more than they should have in terms of stepping over lines that have resulted now in rampant inflation and ridiculous high prices. People can't afford to live. The crime is just completely out of control because of ridiculous leftist policies to basically let violent offenders walk right out of jail moments after they're arrested. That has really come home to roost. And of course, the real lightning rod item is the manipulation of our children, telling parents they have no role whatsoever in what they learn or what their education consists of, and trying to make a platform of creating with small children curriculums of, you know, sexual identity and gender fluidity and all this stuff that, you know, a 7 and 8 year old can't possibly comprehend. Meanwhile, you look at test scores for American children, and they are historically low. It is an education system that needs to be overhauled, but the point is, that's another show for another day. The point is that it has gotten the attention of John Q. Citizen, who is not typically engaged in population. You hit him in the pocketbook, you make them not feel secure to walk the streets, and you start messing with their kids, all of a sudden you're awakening a sleeping giant, and that's what these folks did. So congratulations, Elon Musk. Again, I feel a kindred spirit there, because I think he's the guy that makes decisions based on his own belief system. And I applaud the fact that he's going to go in there and do something that he feels like. And don't for a minute think he doesn't think he can make it profitable by turning it around and making it the forum that it was intended to be. But I really applaud the fact that he is diving headlong into that cesspool, and we will see what the outcome is. It's going to be fascinating. We're out of time for this week. I want to thank everybody, as always, for being on board. Hope we had some ideas and information that perhaps you weren't aware of, because you need to know. I'm Kip Kiefer. We'll see you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.